member meeting of the Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association. It is 11:02 on October 7th, and we are here at my house. This is Wendy Magris, and how about we just go around the room and everybody say their name? So, Wendy Magris.
Ken Spaulding.
I'm John Thompson. I'm with Adam LLC, the management company.
Cindy DePazio.
Brent DePazio.
Sheena Stocksville.
Andy Wells.
Pete Stocksville.
And?
Mike.
Agnes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And we do have a phone line open, but nobody is on the phone who is not here already. So, I'm going to go ahead and make a few preliminary comments.
Just a quick comment that we have 8 lots represented, which represents a quorum.
Oh, thank you very much. We have more than 8 lots represented, don't we?
Did I miss somebody sign in? Oh, Ken.
I am signed.
Yeah.
9 lots represented.
You get a credit for each lot, right?
Yes. So we have 6 just between us. Yeah. Anyways, we'll sort that out. So we do have a quorum, and that's very important. Okay, I do want to note that this is not a board meeting. This is an owner meeting. So it really is for the owners to bring forth their questions, comments, concerns, issues. You can make motions in this meeting. It's not like a board meeting where it's the board is discussing a topic, and then we hear comments from the audience. So just to make that clear. The first item on the agenda is the approval of last year's annual meeting minutes, which are in the packages you have there. Last year's meeting is very similar to this year's. We went through the accomplishments and goals for this year. So do I have a motion to approve last year's minutes?
I'm going to approve last year's minutes.
Do I have a second? Okay. Thank you, Sandy.
I remember earlier.
Is there any discussion? These were provided prior to the meeting, so hopefully everybody had a chance to look at them. Okay. If not, all in favor, vote aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I think that was unanimous. So we'll move on. Okay, very good. Comments from the audience. Well, the audience is all of us. Sandy,
well,
you had a comment.
I have a comment, and it's a little disappointing to see the full participation of the owners here at the meeting. There should be more people here to further the air park's effort to make this place a more viable community. And I'm constantly talking about it. I'm hoping other people are.
It's a good comment.
In fact, my pilot friends, I tell them, hey, you can fly in. And one guy actually said, that's right, you have an airport there.
That's a very good comment.
Yeah, we hope that when we finally are able to move in here, that, you know, a lot of our pilot friends will come and see how beautiful this area is.
Thank you.
So last year, we had a helicopter out here.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of owners that own multiple lots, but what is the representative, you know, say like, owner...
People?
People. How many people or parties own lots out here of all the 72 that we ended up having?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but like I would guess it's two-thirds of the total number, so maybe 40-ish.
Two-thirds? Okay, I thought 56 was the number.
No, 60.
Yeah, I think there's 74 buildable lots, although some of those have been combined. Ken has one that's combined, and so on. But I think, yeah, there must be at least 50. I would guess at least 50 in there, so pretty sure. There's a roster,
Madly.
So just kind of, like Sam said, it's kind of curious.
There are 64 voting lots, five additional lots owned by the association for a total of 69 lots.
Okay.
And I just counted them, and I can't remember the number, but it's somewhere around 50 individuals.
Yeah.
So we should basically see, you know, like, at least 50 different participants.
It'd be nice to see 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not, it's also to build a sense of community, I think, you know, just, this is a nice place, and it'd be nice to get to know our neighbors. And
yeah, I've been finding out that, you know, I've had several people come in here to, you know, work with us and stuff, and now they're coming back as like a destination spot. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I can actually land there and come over and say hi, or mm-hmm. have you take a peek at something, or just have an excuse to go fly someplace. It's interesting how we've developed into such a, you know, isolated community, you know, with mm-hmm. so few participants. I'm not sure exactly how we can bust that up and get
having fuel is one big way of getting people mm-hmm. in here, but I know that's a big endeavor, and I know it's
yeah. We looked into it previously,
and because then we would definitely get traffic coming and going. You know, people will see how beautiful this is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure the pilots at Davis Monthan, they're interested too, because the other day we had a C-17 fly over here about 800 feet over the runway.
Yeah.
That's once a week.
That was really nice.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so they're looking too.
Yeah.
They definitely could see the airport.
Wow.
So interesting. Many of the people who get based at DM for a couple of year tour, it's amazing how many of them end up retiring in the Tucson area.
Yes.
They find that it's the most wonderful place they've been stationed. But feeding back on what Sandy was saying, I think one thing we can do with no cost right now is to reach out to all of our friends who are our pilots, and we probably know more people than we come to our head right away that are pilots, and invite them to come. And we've invited a few of our friends,
yeah.
But there are probably many more that we could.
Yeah, we can do a hangar party or something.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just have it very simple and invite friends.
And in regards to the Ballard auction, mm-hmm. I had contacted four separate people and let them know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said before, I'm trying to promote this airport to mm-hmm. become a better community, you know, a bigger community than what it is.
Back in the earlier days of our involvement in the air park, which started in 2004, in 2005. Well, anyway. There were a number of hangar parties that were actually pretty big. We had pretty good attendance. I remember that was the first time I met Randy and MJ. I think you guys flew in or came, but we had people driving in, and we had people flying in, and riding their bikes in,
yeah.
coming in on their motorcycles, and they had a lot of fun, actually, too.
Well, Mobile Air at Marina, they have a Christmas party every year. And,
that's a good idea, having a little Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. And people fly in.
Have a cookie party or something.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of people fly in for that event. In fact, we did that last year. We got there a little bit late, but we did fly in. From here to
Ryan. Yeah, we had a band. One of them, a resident band.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the things I noticed, you got an email from this, what's the gentleman that wants to take and come in here and rent, yeah. Did you remember the email that he sent in?
I sure do. I don't recall his name. I think it was Mike.
But do you remember the comment, and this kind of goes along with what we're all talking about. And he says, I know, something to the effect, I know that you folks have had problems in the past. Okay, so my point is that stigma is still out in the air.
Well, it's up on the internet, too. Whenever you just type in a movie store in big letters, it talks about
past situation. Sure.
You don't necessarily look at the date.
Yeah.
They just see
right.
that and say,
right.
oh my gosh, you know?
But I mean, fellas like that do want to come in here, get them in here. Because what do? They function as another entity that puts out the good word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those were good comments, and we should all be thinking about how to get people to visit.
thought of as we were discussing is that, you know, we had noticed a couple of breaches of security here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have anybody's email addresses, So I've got to bother poor Wendy and let her know, to let everybody else know, hey, I've seen some strange characters walking the runway. Mm-hmm. Let everybody know, keep your eyes open, lock your doors when you leave the house, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is there any way we could have, like, a community chat page or something that we could just post little things like that? Or if we were planning a Christmas party, let everybody know that owns property here, that we're having an open house.
So we have the website.
It's on the website.
But a Facebook page work in our advantage, like many entities now have their own Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page.
Because people do that a lot.
Yeah.
It used to be you'd have a website, but how do people really go to websites these days? They're all on it. Randy, you're an IT guy. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been used successfully in a lot of situations.
You know, Fran, we could resurrect that Facebook page, and that might be a...
I mean, that's an easy...
The sets had the...
Well, also, in retrospect, too, with the comments, when people do type in Ruby Star, is there a way to supersede that bad mark that's out there that they don't see?
A lot of it has to do with activity, so if there's activity on it, it kind of moves up in the search engine type stuff, and so with some activity, it might. But yeah, that's a problem. Once it's on the internet, it's never good.
Every place has problems, right. But that's in the past.
Right.
And
but if you don't read past the first two lines, then
people don't have much of an attention span these days. They look at a couple of lines, that's basically about it.
But a lot of times when I'm searching for companies now, up will pop at the top of this Google search will be their Facebook page.
Yes.
And if that Facebook page gets a lot of activity, maybe it would trigger higher in the search engine.
It does, yeah. And there's some ways you can pay to get it to go higher, too. But activity is probably the best
page. And that could put it as the first thing they would click on, and then they would see it's an active, viable, thing that,
yep.
That's, you know, things are happening.
I think that's a good message.
Of course, if we start posting all the, you know, the people on the runway, you know, the negatives, that might not be so good either.
Well, we've seen a few people come into the airport, Sandy and I, when we've been at the house, and they've just been looking at properties. I guess maybe Barry sends them or something, and they're so excited when they see how beautiful this area is, and then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might have something to do with that negative.
Well, actually, the Prings, I guess there was a serious buyer, and I don't know what's going on with it right now. But
they pulled out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of the air park. It was because of the accessibility into the hangar. Duh.
There's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and now that I have a flyable airplane, I'd like to throw this out. And that's simply to, I've got so many of your email addresses, is just to say, hey, let's fly out to something and have breakfast.
Hell yeah.
Saturday or Sunday morning or something.
Patrick Casino's a great place.
We've got several pilots here who have flyable airplanes, and I'm wondering,
it's like everybody
are
here
you guys
does.
Interested in that sort of thing?
There's a great breakfast place in Chandler. Great breakfast. I mean, do the people from the street go in there to eat?
It's a nice little place out in Benson.
And I know that Ruby's other groups are putting their ads out on some sites where other pilots can see that these groups are going out to do something. And
I've
that
got
might
the,
be another way we can get outside pilots to join us.
That would be
kind exciting. Of like a motorcycle run.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
Street rod run.
Well, I was kind of hoping that after she and I get through this FAA 145 process, which I tell you what, it's been interesting. I was hoping that we could actually take a piece of our common area, and since we have some portions down here that actually is still natural desert, actually build like an overnight camping area in there. And basically have a place where you can fly in, tie your plane down, and invite people to come up here and camp overnight.
We did that in Canada. It was really
isn't that
fun?
Canada has a lot of airports you can fly in. You can just camp right next to your plane.
Right. Right.
Kind of need a bathroom, though,
to
do that.
Well, then there's there's ways of dealing with that as well, too. But still, you know, the fact of the matter is that just the handful of people that I've had, you know, contact with, once they come out here and they say, well, I'm not going to get in trouble if I land here. No, where'd you hear that? Well, it's a private air park. Well, okay, you know, there's things we'd like you to do, but once you get the word out, then, you know, you would probably find people would like to, you know, come from the Phoenix area down here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about flying up to the casinos for breakfast or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more, be more of an aviation community member than just a, you know, gated air park. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Like I said, when we get some of that, we actually have some time on our hands. Yeah. She and I were spending just a tremendous amount of time.
Pete, kudos to you and your family, though, for being probably the most active outreach that we have right now with attracting people to come in here to visit you guys for your excellent services, of which I am very appreciative for taking of your excellent service. So,
We think it's just going to grow from there.
I
mean,
Jeannie's got a lot of work to do acquiring my private.
She's reserved.
So we went from actually having to go up to the FISDO and work with the FISDO guys there. The guy came down here one time, and now every time he says, "Okay, we got to get together. I'll be down there at this date and that time." I'm like, "No, we'll meet you up there." He says, "No, I'm going to come to you guys."
He wants to get out of the office. He wants to get out of the office. Nice.
Well, we're sitting there with the hangar door open. He's looking at the mountains. He's going, "Wow, this is so nice."
Well, you know, it's funny. We've actually had people from Quail Creek, friends, come here for a snack, you know, an evening thing and watch a sunset. They came
on our lot.
On our lot. And they were just aghast at the beauty of the place.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even the contractors that come, "Wow, man, this is a nice place." "Wow, this is really nice." And I said, "Yeah, it is. That's why we're here."
Yeah, our past history seems to be the biggest problem with people's perceptions out here, and then followed by, well, you know, looking around, I don't see a whole lot going on in here. Well, you know, that's more of an issue about, you know, being able to get money to build out here, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we can change the government's lending policies, but...
Once the CCNRs are done, I have an approach for that.
That's excellent.
For the water situation. I just need time. Basically, what we have, the association owns wells. What we need to do is make them shared wells and connect various properties to each well. And then my understanding is that should solve the problem. But
the lenders just want to see a well agreement, and if they see that...
Right.
It doesn't have to be water. You just have to be hooked to them.
Just have to have a right to participate in the well.
And thankfully, that's how...
That's what they told me.
Yeah, one of our biggest problems.
Banks like paperwork that looks good.
And thankfully, that's how we got our construction loan. Because if that well wasn't posted in Pima County, we wouldn't have been able to get a construction loan. Yeah. But they saw the well, and they said, "Okay, go."
And it's listed as producing back in the day, so...
Yeah, but the reports are from 2004, three, you know, whatever, two, some of them. So,
yeah, that was luck. Thank you, Mike.
And every year we're required to provide a well report, a water usage report, and although it's a zero balance report, it still helps.
Yeah,
it's something I forward to prospective lenders, and they see value in that.
Interesting.
All right. Are there any other comments that we would like to talk about before we move on to the other agenda items? We can pop up anytime.
One more.
Okay.
The end of the runway on the other side. Comments have been made for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yes.
I don't want to go into a big dissertation about it, but something really needs to be done.
Yeah.
I'll let it go with that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Some of the folks here know what I'm talking about. I don't need to go anything more than that, but we need to put some pressure on the owner to take and clean up his mess.
Yeah. Noted.
Noted.
Anything else, folks? Okay. I guess with that, we'll go to the treasurer's report, and John's going to take care of that.
Since Jerry's not here, I'm happy to take that.
Yeah. Jerry said he's going to be on the phone.
Yeah, he's flying right now.
Yeah, he's in the air right now.
All right.
So the financial statements are on pages 3 through 5. Just as a background, you use the fund method of accounting. There are two funds for your association. There's an operating fund and a reserve fund. An operating fund records the day-to-day expenses of the association. And the reserve fund records the non-routine expenses for betterments and improvements. You also use the cash basis of accounting. What that means is that the income statements that you see on 4 and 5, you have a separate income statement for each fund, one for operating, one for reserve. These are simply fancy bank statements. So your basis of accounting is cash in and cash out. So revenue simply represents deposits into the bank, and expenses represent disbursements out. On page 4 is the operating fund. It shows both the current period, this is for September, so it shows for the month of September compared to budget, as well as a year-to-date. And for this meeting, we'll talk about year-to-date. So year-to-date assessment revenue is approximately $3,600 under budget. That's a combination of two things since your cash basis. One is the change in prepaids. So folks sometimes pay a little bit in advance, sometimes a year in advance, for assessments. And the change year-to-date is the change in prepaids from December 31st of 2016 to September 30th, 2017. That went down $1,000. It's very common. It's not unusual. Nothing to be worried about. But that accounts for $1,000 of the $3,600 variance. And then the rest is simply folks that are either a little bit late or very late in making their payments. So about half the remainder is folks that are a little bit late that we expect to come in. And the other part are folks that are very late. And for the folks that are very late, we hire a legal firm to help us pursue those amounts. Now, since there's not a robust market for the properties here, we have to be a little bit more creative in trying to collect those things, and we have been. We've tried various methods of collection, and so we're trying to exercise every opportunity we have for trying to get those amounts in, because the board here can't do their job unless they have the money to do the job. So it's one of the most important things that we do is make sure that there's sufficient funds to run the association. You'll notice in miscellaneous income, there's $750. That simply represents an installment towards a sweeper that we have on the property that we're selling. So we've gotten the first installment in. We plan on selling that. And once we get the remainder of the proceeds, we'll go ahead and take that sweeper off. Under general administrative expenses, the largest variance is attorney's fees. We have a little over $3,600 of positive variance in attorney's fees. In 2016, attorney's fees were just under $10,000. So we're trying to save the association some money by, we engaged another law firm. So we replaced our existing law firm with a new law firm. It's called Brown & Olcott. They specialize in homeowners associations. And for a $50 a month fee, they provide collection services as well as all-you-can-eat advice. So you can ask them any question you want and they'll respond to it. That's part of the $50 a month fee.
Can I go ahead and comment, even though it's not treasury? They've been very responsive when I send them a question. It's within a day, 2 days that they answer. And they don't nickel and dime on the a la carte stuff. They don't charge extra for things that we were getting charged extra in the past.
Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
For example, with all the efforts we've done with the CCNRs, which are above and beyond the $50 fee, they've only charged under $300. Now, of course, that's going to increase as we go to the vote, but I expect that positive variance to continue for the remainder of the year. Fair park expenses, landscaping, we're just around $1,300 negative variance. And I think that's going to remain for the remainder of the year. We just did the weed chopping.
Yeah, did that, looks great. Is that included in this?
It is not, so okay. I haven't gotten that bill yet. So that'll be coming through, and then we're going to have another round of weed spraying before the end of the year. So I expect that negative variance to continue throughout the year. As far as gate maintenance, we plan on increasing the security in the gate. We're looking into installing a camera or two and some lights. That'll be about $2,500. And then we're also going to install wrought iron on the door and window of the gatehouse. So that'll be an additional expense. And the last component of the operating is contribution to reserves. To date, we've contributed $25,500 into the reserve fund. Again, the reserve fund is for betterments and improvements to the air park. We budgeted $35,000 for contributions to reserves. I think we're going to make that amount. We'll see, but I think there's a good chance that we'll hit that number. On page 5, you'll see the reserve fund income statement. The large disbursement is for Riprap. That's the entire project, so all bills are in. So the $10,000 you see in Riprap is the amount that we spent this year for Riprap. If you go to page 3, you'll see the balance sheet. And again, the balance sheet is in two different funds, one for operating, one for reserve. They're self-balancing funds. Operating cash at September 30th, 2017 is $22,200. That's typically...
Which page are you on?
Page 3.
I think the last one, right?
3?
No, page 3. It looks like this. Oh, it's balance
we're going
sheet.
Backwards.
Okay.
Sorry.
But the balance sheet is a snapshot of the association at any given time. It's the financial health of the association. So whereas an income statement presents a period of time, the balance sheet presents a snapshot of the association right at that moment. So this is a snapshot as of September 30th. Operating cash is right around $22,200, and we expect that to be a low because you assess quarterly. And so the October 1st assessments have not all been realized yet. And so this is typically a low period for cash, and it's still pretty healthy. I think it's better than it's ever been. What operating cash represents is 35% of annual assessments and over 70% of annual operating expenses. So those are good metrics to have. If you go to the very last page of this, you'll see a 2018 budget. This is still in draft form. It has not been approved, ratified by the board just yet. So at this point, there's no planned increase in assessments.
Before we go to this, let me make a comment on this year's. One of the things that happened is we did not do as much road maintenance as we have in the past years, and so that's one of the reasons we have more in the operating than I think we've had. And I'm going to talk about this in a bit, but when thinking about 2018, there are quite a few road projects that really need to get done, so I would expect that these 2 years together are going to look more like previous years. Because we kind of deferred a few things into next year. We've got the construction of your guys' lot, and we didn't want to do certain things on that side of the airport and so on. So anyways, just side note.
So there are 64 lots that are assessed dues. That's $1,000 per lot per year. The association has been kind enough to allow that to be split into four different payments of $250 per quarter. We're budgeting a little bit more conservative number this year than we did last year. We're going to budget $62,000. We're assuming that two lots may not pay for the entire year. I think it'll be better than that. Not only that, I think we'll actually... not only collect on that, but collect some delinquency. So I'm hoping that we'll have a positive variance that in 2018.
to talk to Wendy's comment, contributions to reserves. We budgeted $35,000 for this year, and I think we'll hit that number. Next year, we're going to come in around $37,600 is what we're going to budget, so a little bit higher. And most of that, even though we're budgeting less in assessment revenue, we're having savings in legal fees. And so I think that number is attainable. So between what the contribution was this year and next year's contribution, that should fund, without special assessment, the road improvements that Wendy was discussing. And that's all I have in my notes. Are there any questions? Feel free to digest the statements and let me know any comments you have.
The Huey loan. Do we have an amount that's left?